Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, or just visiting family in the Central Florida area, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in Hawaii, at Alani, Hilton Head Island, or good old Walt Disney World, stay at the Poly, Old Key West, Boardwalk, Yacht and Beach Club, Contemporary, or the Grand Floridian, or don't forget the Animal Kingdom, contact David's at dvcrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the Central Florida resorts, if you want to go to Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, again, visiting family, contact scootorlando.com. Show's also being brought to you by our friends and your friendly travel agent in me at American Tourist Travel. If you want to go to Walt Disney World, contact me and I'll be sure to help you out. Or anywhere else in the world, contact American Tourist Travels at americantouristtravels.com. And last but not least, head over to our website at It's All in WDW to check out all of our great sponsors. Okay, guys, we're going to hop on the train and head over to the pub. Bye-bye.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined from his beautiful home, Pull Up a Stool. John, how you doing today?
Good. How's things in Jersey?
It's thunderstormy and highly humid with a lot of taxes, so not as good as Florida.
Yeah, we just got the first two. We don't have the taxes, so there you go.
Yeah, it's going to be like 90% humidity today, 93 degrees, one of those beautiful days, John.
No, oh, sounds super. Yeah, we got a couple of hurricanes spinning out in the Gulf, so we don't know what's going to happen with them. So
yeah, that's pretty scary. It shows one going in the Gulf and one going the other side.
a pincher effect.
Yeah, so. Do you remember Happy Days, the Malachi Crunch?
No, good grief! I mean, dig him out right there, huh?
Yeah, but do you remember that, the Malachi Crunch?
No, I barely remember watching Happy Days. Not that much, anyway. So.
Anyway, Fonzie was entered in a... I remember they used to have the smash-up derbies. You get a bunch of old cars and everybody smashes up. Well, at one time it was a real popular thing, and the Malachi brothers were 2-1 at the end against Fonzie. And you know Fonzie won. He beat the Malachi brothers.
No, he's Henry Winkler, dang it.
We actually met him. Well, not met him, but he actually waved us at a toll booth. He was smoking a cigar, headed down to the casinos. And we were going through the Atlantic City toll booth, and he was right next to me. And my wife pointed at him, and he pointed back to my wife and waved to her, smoking a cigar. He was in the back of a limousine, John.
Yeah, very nice, very nice. I always heard he was a really nice guy.
Yeah, I gave him the thumbs up, John. Was I cool or what?
Yeah, you are, man. You are. I bet he never seen that before.
No. Couldn't help myself, John. It was like a natural reaction.
What are you going to do, right?
Yeah. I want to say thanks to our buddy Al from Texas. We got another review, John, which was nice.
Yay!
Somebody took the time to go to iTunes and left us a review. I'm very, very happy. I mean, we do overcharge these people for the show, so, I mean, it is a tough to go over there for us, you know.
Yeah, well.
But we really, 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 very nice, we really appreciate it. But anyway, it says, Doug, John, and occasionally Bob and Dennis are great. Doug's rants are loved. I paid him to say that.
I bet.
I appreciate this show on how it is reality and not fantasy. I have been listening to the Main Street podcast since the beginning with Doug and Scott. So it goes back many, many moons, John. He's been listening.
No kidding.
Yeah, 2012 we started this thing, 8 years now. You believe that?
That's scary.
It's been a long time, John. Anyway, was back for their first shows. This is a must listen every week. He put every in capital letters. Thank you, Al. No matter what, always at the top of the list for me. Recently switched to my iPhone 11 and received my podcast automatically. Main Street is absolutely my number one show every week. When I work my Sunday shift in retail, I cannot wait to drive home because I can listen to the newest show on my commute home. Doug, keep up the cart patrol. I feel it every day when we have to clean up after the lazy individuals. So that was very nice, John.
Oh, there you go. Very nice of him. Now, how much did you pay for it?
$19.95, John.
You got your money's worth out of it. Very good.
I did. So please, guys, follow Al and head over to iTunes, leave us a review. It really does help the show out. We really appreciate it.
Yep, that's the only way that the wackos at iTunes will optimize our show, and it helps us boost up and find more people to listen to our show and become friends of the show. So that's the only way. So please go over there and leave us a review.
Yeah, it really helps us out, very much so. Know what helped me out today? My wife got up and made me a lovely breakfast. I jumped and pitched in, and we did a home fried potatoes, eggs over easy, and some fresh bacon. That's good living, John.
Yeah. Sunday is usually our bacon day. We allow ourselves to have bacon once a week or so. So, yeah, I agree. Sundays, but there's nothing like real bacon. You can have your turkey bacon and your other stuff and all that, but real bacon is real bacon. It tastes so good.
Well, so. We found this bacon from our local distributors, two of them, but we do still try to stay healthy, so we get the less sodium, John. You wouldn't know the difference.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal. It's not high in cholesterol. I only have two pieces, so it ain't like I'm hurting myself. You follow me?
Yep. Yeah, and that's the thing about some stuff like that. I mean, I would rather have two pieces of real bacon as opposed to, like, four or five or the equivalent of imitation stuff. You know what I'm saying? If you're gonna splurge, at least get the really good stuff, but just in limitation. You know what I mean?
We found this low sodium, Brenda's been allowing us to eat this instead of the turkey bacon a lot, because we do BLTs a lot, and I love BLTs. So if you do home fresh Jersey tomatoes, we used our fresh lettuce that we finally have some out here now, John, and two pieces of bacon, it's still a healthy sandwich, don't you think, John?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
So, but we enjoyed
that. You
got
more vegetables on it than you do. You have more vegetables on it than you do meat. So there you go. So
yeah, nothing like fresh Jersey tomatoes, John. Nothing like them. We do have one thing better than Florida, our tomatoes.
I know you brag about them all the time. That's fine. I'll take my beaches and everything else in Disney World. So I'm sure your tomatoes are great, but I'll be okay.
Okay, how did I brag there? I said we have one thing. It ain't like I said here saying New Jersey blows Florida away in so many ways. I said we have one thing, and you still gotta be pump your chest out.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying. I mean, now you're being a little conceited down there in your little sunshine state. You know. Anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
Anyway, I had fun yesterday. I went, had to do a, put a storm door in. John, you ever put a storm door in?
I put in plenty of screen doors, but we don't worry a whole lot about storm doors.
Well, screen door, storm door is kind of the same thing as glass in it instead of, there's still the, your self-closer with the pump, the whole nine yards. And
Yeah.
I went and did one yesterday for a customer, and they started it and literally had to take it all back apart and do it all over again, which it's kind of like going to the movie and it's halfway through, if you follow me. It's hard to catch on if you don't start from the beginning.
But, yes, it is.
Yeah, it was fun, John. The thing that cracked you up is on the packaging, it says it's a 45-minute installation, John. Yeah.
They lie so much.
Oh, yeah. 6 hours later, the door's done.
And you're a professional, so imagine a homeowner trying to do that in 45 minutes. I don't think so.
Exactly. It's 45 minutes if... Okay, this is what cracks you up, too, because a couple years ago for my friend Carol, which she's my customer, too, I put new ceiling fans in her house. And she already had ceiling fans there. She just wanted to update them. You know what I'm saying? They were getting a little old and crickety. So she bought these fans, and they say 5-minute fan, 5-minute installation on the box, John.
5 minutes, huh?
5-minute installation from Hampton Bay, right? So I get there, and I said, Carol, do something for me. I put the box on top of the desk, I mean on top of the countertop out in the garage. I said, Carol, do me a favor. Set your timer. I mean, start your timer. I get her to start the timer. I said, stop. It took me 7 minutes to get it out of the box, John.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, if everything's laid out for you, everything's laying there, the old fan is down, the new fan is put together, you could maybe put it up in 5 minutes if you follow me.
I still don't know if you could do that. I mean, you still have to, you know, tighten the brackets and get the wiring done and all that.
It just...
Holy cow. What,
but as a contractor, you know what a pain in the butt this stuff is to us?
Yeah, because people look at it and they expect you to be done in 5 minutes or in 45 minutes, and you're not. So they're going, well, you're a professional. How come you can't get it done?
No.
Right?
100%. And like yesterday, luckily the person I did the door for yesterday, I've had it on them for years. You understand what I'm saying? They were there. They'd seen. What happened is the door wouldn't even fit in the jam. Like, I had to take all the brick molding off, rip it all down, move the brick molding out. I had to make the opening for the door to fit, John. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah. So, the bottom line is, they make this stuff kind of look so easy, and then everybody thinks just because you watch a YouTube video, which this person did, that they can do it. And if you don't do it, don't do it, guys. Put in some overtime at your own job if you can, and hire somebody to do it for you. Am I right?
You're absolutely correct.
But it just cracks you. The moral to the story is the stuff that they tell you in these stores and the way they try to make it easy, and that's why I lose my mind with the home improvement shows. Because it's like they don't show you the 57 mess-ups or what they found when they took the cabinets down to put the new ones up. They just show you, oh, it's done and it's beautiful. Look, anybody can do it.
Yeah, they never show you the stuff that doesn't fit correctly, that no matter what happens, it's not going to happen, work correctly. You know, they're not going to show you all that. So,
like, we went to a home show. We used to go quite a bit. Down in Atlantic City every year at the convention center, they had the home builders show. And I would go down because I was in business to see all the new products and stuff like that. Well, do you ever remember a TV show called Trading Spaces?
No, vaguely.
What happened is two friends, they would get a designer, and each one, and they would have two designers and one carpenter. And they would redo each other's room in a weekend. You understand what I'm saying? Well, I would say, and they would build, like, they would have $1,000 or like $1,000 for materials. And they would have these people, the one carpenter, he'd be hanging, he or she'd be hanging crown molding, building furniture, doing this, doing, I said, Brenda, there's no way in hell this one person is doing all this. But they made it look like they're building bureaus, tables, desks, chairs, armoires, kitchen cabinets. Like, this, here we see one of the designers at the home improvement show and go, oh yeah, there's six carpenters on each side, John. But on the TV show, the TV show, it's making it look like the husband and the wife and the designer and the one carpenter's doing everything. So
it's amazing the amount of work you can do in a weekend.
Yeah. It's just crazy the way they kill the construction worker, and then when they come out, all they do is call him a bum when he can't do what they show on TV that's done in 5 minutes. So, but the moral to the story is that door took a long time yesterday. And everything everything went right. It ain't like I messed anything up. You had to drill. I mean, it just took time to do it. If you understand what I'm saying, it's what the job took, 6 hours, not 45 minutes. So, but Anywho, we had our fantasy draft this week. I enjoyed that, John.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun sitting there and kind of BSing with the guys and ladies participating. And I think everybody did a pretty good job, so it'll be interesting. I looked through the projected points for the first week, and so far, according to that, it's like everybody is right on within 10 points of each other. So I think everybody drafted pretty evenly. Now it's going to be a matter of who gets injuries and who pops up as a star. And I know my son's got both rookie quarterbacks, so if one of those takes off, he's going to do okay. So
yeah, it ought to be very, very interesting. My only problem with it was is, and I know it was inevitable in some ways, but the auto pick drives me nuts. Somebody has four or five of one position already and don't have the other, and it still takes the best person available. And that drives me nuts, because every time it seemed to happen, right, a pick or two in front of me and took who I wanted. And so it really made me mad, John. So
Doug, the things you worry about.
Well, hey, John, if it was a beer league and the beer, if the Lafin Lamont was taken two in front of you after that other person already had five beers, you'd be kind of pissed off, wouldn't you?
Oh, I guess. But I don't think I'd let it
You'd be like, I could have had the Lafin Lamont. He auto-picked. He already had a golden monkey. It's not fair. It's not fair at all. Speaking of not fair, did you see that all the Disney executives decided it's okay to reimburse their salaries but not bring back any more cast members?
Nope, not going back to work.
No. It brought back every one of the higher-up executives, their salaries are back into full effect. They're closing the parks down early. They're not hiring back cast members, but the white-collar workers, they're all getting paid. Ain't that fair, John?
Absolutely.
It's ridiculous. Like, what has changed that they should get their salaries in full? You guys should, the people that are furloughed, that are making minuscule and unemployment, they should be taken care of. That's just my opinion.
We can't even get our governor in the state of Florida to accept the federal money right now. So I'm about to give up. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's very, very, very.
He doesn't
sick.
Care. He doesn't care. The executives don't care. Nobody cares. So yeah. It is what it is. What are you going to do?
Yeah, our New Jersey governor's doing the same stuff, John. Same exact stuff. They don't want to pay the extra money either. And again, it still cracks me up. All the gyms are still closed, but you can go to Hollywood Tans. Does that make sense to you, John?
Well, you got to stay. You got to get that tan.
Yeah,
you know, why get healthy when you can go get skin cancer?
100%. The other thing is, the one thing they say is one of the best things to fight the virus is to be in shape. Am I not right, John?
No, that's what I've heard. Yes.
Okay, so the gym owners around here said that they it showed them. They all have all their PPE. They have it set up to where like you're every third or fourth treadmill. You understand what I'm saying? So they have it set up to where they could stay away from each other. So I can go into Dunkin' Donuts and buy six cases of donuts and get fat with 100 people in the store, because there's no quota on how many people can walk in a Dunkin' Donuts or a supermarket. I could be in line for my lunch meats, but with 20, 30 other people, but I can't go run on a treadmill. What sense does that make?
I don't know that, and like I think I said last week, the gyms here have been open for a couple of months now, or a month at least, and I don't think there's a sudden outbreak that's been traced back to any friggin' gym. So, I mean, for God's sakes, we're sending our kids back to school, so why couldn't you go work out at a gym? Seems a little redundant to me. Or does your governor hate gyms or something?
Oh, yeah, he absolutely does, because there's a local gym owner in Barrington here that defied it and opened his gym, because he said, I gotta live. I'm getting no money, and I'm losing my business that I worked for my entire life. Like, it's a well known, it's been around for a while. You understand what I'm saying? He went out and got, and he even talked to the company. they have these iPads now where you look right into it. Facial recognition. It takes your temperature and everything. It's this new computer system. The company gave it to him for the gym to advertise it. You follow me? They showed the cleaning, everything else, and he opened up. They came back and boarded it up, and they reopened it. So the governor's against gyms. It goes to show you that he doesn't care about what is right or wrong. It's about what hurt his feelings. They're supposed to be above and beyond that, but they're really not.
Yeah, it's a vengeful thing now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll show you.
Oh, absolutely. I'm in ShopRite right now, John, the local, and Target. There's 100, 150 people. I mean, the stores are packed. I mean, Target, Walmart, all the grocery stores, they're going to break record numbers in money this year. The stores are like, time I go to Target, it's like the couple weeks before Christmas, John.
Oh, yeah. Target and Walmart and all the grocery stores, yeah, they're going to have record profits this year because restaurants are practically out of business, so there's no place else to eat, so everybody's eating at home. So, yeah, of course.
But, yeah, okay, so you're going to have 150 people in a Target. I mean, I'm watching people getting in the ice cream lockers the other day like crazy, getting ice cream out of the coolers, but yeah, I can't go work out. Well, it makes no sense to me. None whatsoever. But anyway, hopefully one of these days, John, we get you back on a bus.
That'd be nice. Sooner rather than later, but I don't know. We'll see. I mean, every week we see more and more stuff open up, and we see. I really wouldn't say we've seen a relaxing of the restrictions or yet of stuff yet, but there's definitely more places opening up, and hopefully, as we either work our way towards a vaccine, a cure, or towards people accepting this new norm, people will come back to going to vacation and travel and stuff like that. I mean, there's a certain segment of Disney fans out there that you're not going to keep them away. I mean, you know, there's some of them that are going to be scared and stuff like that, but after a while and after they see that there's no outbreak at Disney, traced back to Disney, and the precautions they're doing, they're going to feel like they can come back on vacation. So I'm hoping that really kicks in soon. You know, I'm hoping that there's going to be especially as the weather finally starts to cool off sometime in October, that people will start making their way back down here in the somewhat busier than it is now. You know what I'm saying? I was out at Disney Springs again this past week, and it's still really slow out there. I walked around Saratoga. That's basically what I wanted to do. I wanted to walk from Disney Springs to Saratoga to make sure you could still do it, and you can indeed. You just can't make the whole big circle. You can't walk past the golf course and back to Disney Springs because they have that surface parking lot area closed, so you can't walk in that area. So basically I had to turn around and walk all the way back, but that was all right. But it was Saratoga is just it's part of it anyway is just creepy. I mean, it's, you know, I felt like I would have been able to walk up to somebody's balcony and just sit for a little bit and take a break because there's nobody in the rooms. But yeah, there was like one person in the pool. So
know what it reminds me of? Like our Jersey Shores, like more people live down there now.
Off season,
but yeah, during the off season, you go down there. It's like a ghost town, John. And it's creepy as far as like all the lights go from turning red, green, and yellow to just flashing yellow, and it's just very, very creepy riding through the abandoned town with all the vacant houses.
So the one time I got harassed as a young man by the cops was in New Jersey. Me and two of my buddies from the ship went out for a cruise, and we done no drinking that night because we were going to drive and stuff like that. So we didn't have any beer in the car. We hadn't even drank anything, and it was probably 10:15, which was late for that area. And it was the off season. It was definitely probably January or February, and we drove through I forgot what area it was, up there by Earl, New Jersey, where I was stationed at, but there was definitely this boardwalk area,
Point Pleasant Beach,
had, you know, bumper cars. Which one?
Point Pleasant Beach.
It might have been in that. It was somewhere over there. It was a boardwalk, and there was, you know, the bumper cars and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
And so, and all the hotels and everything. And so we were just driving around there taking a look at stuff because we'd never seen any of that type of stuff before. Two of the guys were from the Midwest, and I'm from Florida, so I'm not accustomed to seeing that place empty. It was very weird. So we were driving through there, and the cops pulled us over, would not believe that we hadn't been drinking, would not believe that we were just out cruising around, and got us out of the car, called the canine patrol over, and, you know, and took the dog all the way around the car, did the whole bit, and you could tell they were getting more and more perturbed the less stuff they could find on us, because there was nothing they could charge us with. I mean, granted, we were probably somewhere that was suspicious, but we weren't doing anything. So, but yeah, and you're right. There was nobody there. It was very, very creepy. We felt like we shouldn't have been there, but there really was no reason we couldn't be.
Exactly. So. You were probably in Asbury Park, John, I'm thinking now.
That sounds right. That sounds right. I think you are correct.
Yeah, you were probably up towards Asbury Park. So... that naval base is up a little further than what Point Pleasant Beach was, but you're probably in Asbury Park. That's where, you know, where the you know, a lot of songs are from our wonderful singer. You know what I'm saying?
There you go. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think that's where we were. So.
Yeah, the boss, Bruce Springsteen's from that, around that area.
Yeah. Yep.
But nah, dude, it's very creepy down the shore, because I do a lot of work down there in the wintertime to get the houses ready for vacation. And you'll get in some areas where, and you got to go slow, because like you were saying with the cops, dude, they're out. You do 2 miles an hour over, they're pulling you over in the wintertime. They want every ticket they can get.
Yeah, there's nothing else going on. Nothing else going on, so they've got to do something. So.
But anywho, I'm hoping to get down. I mean... speaking of that whole area too, did you see? I'll go into a little news. They were showing the rooms of Old Key West. A lot of them updated. I might try to stay there in one of my next trips. It looks beautiful. I love that resort.
I told you that one bedroom is what Lisa's now trying to talk me into getting for our vacation instead of staying at the Poly. So I'm debating on it, because I think it's going to be about 30 more points, 25, 30 more points than what we would be able to spend at the Poly. So it would take all our points, and then I'd have to buy some too, or at least borrow some from the next year, but it might be worth it, because it certainly looks like it would be quite the luxurious vacation. So
absolutely. And that's why, because Pat over there at the Mickey Dudes, they had DVC on. They had their DVC by resale people on, and you know, he called me dumb, stupid, and a moron at the start of the show. Did you hear it?
No, that's just mean. What a mean guy.
Yeah, he goes, that dumb, stupid moron from over at the WDW Main Street podcast, who's probably not... He kind of made it like I couldn't understand what he was saying. So he said, if you're like him, you know, the dumb, stupid guy over there at Main Street, he repeated himself for us dummies, John. But anyway, he was talking about his beautiful... he was talking about how his beautiful family, except for himself, is getting larger. The kids are getting bigger and more grown up. And that was that's the reason why they sold the resort. They sold their points at the Poly, because the rooms aren't big enough for his kids.
Yeah, I could definitely see that, because there is no option at the Poly. Either staying in a studio or you're staying in a bungalow, and that's it. And unless you've got 44,000 points, you're not staying in a bungalow for a real vacation. Maybe a one-night stay every once in a while, but that'd be it. So
I get it. So he said with his teenage boys and everything else like that, they need the options of one and two bedrooms. So that's why he's buying, you know, wants to buy it a different area, which that makes total sense for someone. Even him, it makes sense, right, John?
Yeah, it does.
But no, I mean, so that was the reason, but... they had a good show on DVC on the resale options and all that stuff. So if you guys want to check that out, head over to our buddies at the Mickey Dudes. You know, I'll say it for you, John, because he does like you. He don't pick on you like he does me.
Well, that's because I don't pick back. I'm not one of these guys that goes back and forth like you people do. You people from the Northeast, you love that stuff. So I'm just saying.
I don't start any trouble, John. I don't get what you're saying.
right.
Hey, John, between me and you, we're brothers over here. You're supposed to be on my side regardless.
Much like real brothers, you know, sometimes it doesn't work out that way.
Well, we got to have a discussion around here. Off the air, I'm going to give you for.
Okay.
Off the air, you're getting what for. And speaking of the parks and staying and everything else like that, it says Walt Disney World calendar update for November shows parks will continue to be at reduced operating hours, John.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. So that's not really much of a surprise, is it?
No. I mean, I was talking, we got more listeners from guys at work and people, customers I've been working at their house. They've been listening to the show and stuff like that. And I was talking to even the wonderful people at our local, there's a restaurant, it's called, or a pizza place called the Pizza Box. And we were going to Papa John's here and there for a while because it was right down the street. But lately they haven't been wearing masks in there, and it doesn't seem up to what I want it to be, if you follow me, John, at this point.
Yeah.
So anyway, we remembered the Pizza Box, and I'm so thankful I went back there. It's an elderly couple. They're like the salt of the earth. I mean, it's a little bit more of a drive to go there than what we were doing here, you follow me, but the pizza is out of this world. It's like, you ever have one of those local places where you forget about it for a couple years, and then all of a sudden you remember, and you're like, why did I stop going there?
Yeah, or it's one of those things like Lisa, she much prefers chain restaurants. She has a better, she knows what to expect and stuff like that. So it's hard to get her to try small mom and pop restaurants and stuff like that, because she knows if you go into Outback or Olive Garden or Ruby Tuesdays or Chili's or, you know, Applebee's, what to expect and what the menu is going to look like and stuff like that. So it's hard to get her to go to other places. What I usually have to do is get it to go one time, bring it home, and then show her how good the food is, and then we can manage to talk her into going. So, but yeah, there's a place in Inverness right up the road from us that we're going to try in a couple of weeks that it's called Stump Knockers, and it looks really good. But that's one of those things, you know, you see the place all the time and then you never go there until something happens and you finally talk yourself into going. So it's great.
Yeah, see, what happened with me is about 20 years ago I was remodeling a house over it, and it's not a far ride. It's actually going to be where my sister-in-law is moving. It's the next town over. But it ain't right down the street. Like, at rush hour, it could take you 20 minutes to go there and back. You follow me, John? So, but anyway, I was remodeling a house over there. We were doing a basement remodel. And we were eating there for lunch every day for, like, a month. You know, every day we'd order from there because the menu was pizza and steaks and hoagies and everything else. And then I loved the pizza so much, I started bringing it home once a week for us for dinner, and we all fell in love with it. They make a great tomato pie. But all of a sudden I just forgot to go there for a while. But the thing is, me and Brenda we're just the opposite. Now I go to mom and pops more than I go to Applebee's and stuff like that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Well, that's what you really should do. You're supporting the local economy and stuff like that. The only time that I prefer going to chains is like if we were traveling somewhere and you're on the interstate and you see signs for, then you know what to expect.
Exactly.
To but,
like,
yeah.
We hit Chick-fil-A the whole way down, John.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, it's nice and clean and ready to go. And the difference was, like, at the Pizza Box, I got a tomato pie and a tomato pie and a regular pie yesterday with green peppers and onions. And the pies are $20 a piece, John. So it was $40 for two pies compared to $22 at Papa John's. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather spend the $40 there. The pies are bigger, they're fresher, they look better. But the thing of it is I'm supporting a family, if you understand what I'm saying, not a franchise that's paying their employees, you know, pennies. You follow me?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, and then I told you about the local Japanese restaurant here, Shogun. They are so wonderful. The family, I mean, the kids, I mean, the work ethic at that place. I mean, John, if I had a quarantine somewhere, I would quarantine in this restaurant. That's how clean it is.
Sounds like our local Chinese restaurant. They're like that too. The kids used to do their homework at the table, and now we've been going there so much, now they're working behind the counter. So you know.
Yep, that's his Japanese restaurant, and the food is so fresh and good. And you know, we go there, me, mom, and Brenda, with what we get, it costs me like every other week, it costs me like $70 for the food. But it's usually a couple meals, they give you so much, John.
Always, always. I've never eaten at an Asian restaurant and came away hungry. And you always have enough for leftovers. For, I mean, traditionally, me and my son, and my son's, you know, 21, and I like to eat too, but we split a sweet and sour chicken is how much food they give you. You
100%.
Know, and you feel better that way too. If you try to eat it all yourself, you're going to feel terrible. So.
Yeah, Brenda and Mom, they'll split this hibachi chicken, and I usually get the hibachi shrimp. And then the next day, me and Brenda will split what Mom will eat what's left of the chicken, and I'll eat, me and Brenda will split what's left of the shrimp. You follow me? And then we still have pot stickers and everything else we get with it. And but the moral to this story is support local businesses, especially through this time, especially your local restaurants. If you could do takeout, do it. I mean, once a week or something like that, if you can afford it, try to help them out at this point, John. You agree with me on that, don't you? Because I mean, that's what you delivered to for so many years.
Yeah. I didn't deliver to chains. I delivered to all small restaurants. Yeah, and you're right. I mean, Papa John's is certainly not going to be in financial trouble, but your pizza box place might. So.
No, I mean, he supposedly, because I don't know the whole story, but he said something wrong, I'm going to say, and he ended up getting, what, a $100 million buyout or whatever, John, so he's not hurting
it's
the owner of Papa
like
John's.
That.
Yeah, so, yeah. Anywho, I just support local business. They make great food, and they're great people, and I don't know. I enjoy it. I really enjoyed dinner yesterday. We do eat good, John.
Nothing wrong with that.
But anyway, park hours, operating hours, November, according to the latest calendar update. Magic Kingdom is 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. This is so sad, dude. Like, Epcot, 11 to 7. Like, not seeing Epcot at night should be criminal.
Yeah, and for the longest time, I mean, Epcot's hours were always the most predictable. Unless there was something really wacky going on, it was 9 to 9. All the time, you know. I mean, I think we were out there a couple of times where they were open until 10, but for the most part, unless you were using extra magic hours or something else, it was 9 to 9 every day. And it was, the like I said, the most predictable of all the parks. You knew what time the Epcot was open. So,
And we said this on the last show or the show before. I forget. I ramble so darn much. But I wish they would stagger these hours some, John. I mean, don't you think? Again, like, they're trying to get locals into parks, and if you're closed, Animal Kingdom's closed at 5 p.m., Hollywood Studios 7, Epcot 7, Magic Kingdom 6. Like, why wouldn't you make the hours, like, maybe 11 on, John? 11 to 9 or something like that. I mean, you don't have to pay anymore as long as it's an 8-hour shift. Am I wrong?
No, the only thing I would think is maybe they're thinking about lighting. Once it becomes dark, earlier in the day, if they close at 6 or if they close at 7, they're not going to have to worry about turning all the lights on around the parks and have to worry about lighting the entire park or the parking lot for that matter at night. So
yeah, I guess it's all the bottom dollar again, John. Those executives need to get their full $1 million salaries. Why? I mean, and the thing is, again, like I just said, like if you're staying at the parks, right? Don't you think one of the biggest complaints I get from people who go to Disney World that aren't like drink the Kool-Aid like us is they have to get up all early in the morning on their vacation to get at the parks this rope drop. Am I wrong, John?
I guess, but I can't imagine getting somewhere at 9 o'clock is early in the morning.
But no, but you got to get up at 7.
Jobs I've had through my life.
I mean. No, but that's you. But you love the place. Like a lot of people, when they're on vacation, they don't want to have to be regimented to get up at 7 in the morning to go to a park. And you have a family of 4 or 5.
Like I said.
Yeah.
Like I said, I guess, but I mean, you're right. It's just me, but not necessarily because I love the park. But I mean, when we go on vacations, other places, I always get up at 7, sleeping in, you know, as well as I do, Doug. So me and you sleeping in until 7 o'clock is sleeping in.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I mean, because traditionally I've been getting up at 4:30 in the morning. So,
but, and I will admit this, I can't wait to get there, but Brenda don't like rushing in the morning because 365 days, any week she's not off, she's up at 4:30 in the morning. She likes She likes the idea of she might wake up at 6 or 7, but she don't want to have to rush to do her hair, her makeup, get ready. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? Like, when she's on vacation, she actually just wants to chill for the week. And I make her run the entire week, you know? It's just what I do. But my point is, I wish they would, like, maybe have these later in the day also so locals could come after work and go to the parks. I mean, they're saying they can't get attendance here, but they're kind of making it hard to get attendance here. Because they did start selling annual pass holders can get in now again.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, I told you earlier this week when the day I did go to Disney Springs Thursday morning, I made a reservation at the Magic Kingdom. I think I made it at like 9:30 to go in, and I could have went that day. But then around 12, when I was leaving work, I decided I'd switch from Magic Kingdom to Epcot. So I canceled the Magic Kingdom one and tried to make the one at Epcot. By that time, they closed off. So I don't know if they filled with their quota or if they just stopped accepting new reservations at noon. But anyhow, I could have made it earlier in the morning. But yeah, so
yeah, I don't know. But anyway, the Hollywood Studios again is 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Magic Animal Kingdom's 9 to 5. Epcot's 11 to 7. I mean, it's kind of like right in the middle of, we're not going to let, we don't want anybody here. And Magic Kingdom's 9 to 6.
Let's just make it the hottest part of the entire
yes.
day. So.
I mean, really, John, like, we do Epcot, you're right. I mean, it's usually, we do Epcot early. How me and Brenda usually do Epcot is, and she gets, like, so, like I said, I'm not making her always rush, but I am always making her rush, but I usually like to get there as soon as it opens, especially, I usually do Epcot if they have extra magic hour morning, John, because it's cool. Get there at 8, yeah. You know what I'm saying, Johnny? And then we'll leave at like 11, go back to the hotel, take an afternoon shower or swim, you know, whatever, and then go back at like 5 o'clock at night, 6 o'clock at night when the sun's starting to go down, and then close it and do illumination. Now, doesn't that sound like the perfect Epcot day?
That's a good Epcot day. Very, very good.
11 to 7 is like, dude, they better have people standing out, get your lotion here, get your sunscreen here.
Sunscreen and water. Sunscreen and water.
Oh my goodness, it's like, I don't know. Some of the decisions that are being made right now are, I can't wrap my head around it, but it's just me. I have the same problem at work a lot of days.
Go figure.
Yeah. I'm sure you've had that too, John. I remember you driving truck and you're like, well, why are they routing me this way?
No, the big problem that I get driving a truck, and I still don't understand it, is places like, and it would be the same thing up where you live, but the other season. I mean, our season is the winter down here, absolutely jam-packed in the little town I live in, and then especially over on the West Coast in Sarasota, Fort Lauderdale, all that area, Venice, that's all packed in the wintertime. These municipalities, they decide to do road construction projects in the winter. Why? How does that make any sense to you whatsoever? You know there's five times as much traffic on the road, but we're going to cut down from three lanes to one lane. We're going to do that. Let's do that November until February. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, this way they have the... And it ends up costing five times as much because it's harder to avoid the traffic and the hour. It takes twice as long to do anything.
Yep.
You know, it's nuts, John. You just sit there and think, like, who is doing the thinking around here?
Well, that and the city of Bradenton down there too, they confuse me with their Christmas decorations. They put snowflakes up every year, which I don't get snowflakes and snowmen in Florida. It does not compute. I mean, I guess it's for the people that have transplanted down here because they miss the snow or something.
Yeah.
But I live in Florida because I don't like the snow. So I don't understand the celebration of it. I don't.
No, it's the same thing around here when they put a Hawaiian shirt on Santa Claus. I just want to knock on the door and ask the person, what's wrong with you?
that makes sense to me. You know, yeah. I mean, yes, the Hawaiian shirt, the Santa Claus in shorts. Yes, that's all the stuff that I want to see. Santa Claus riding a dolphin.
Yeah.
Yes, that's my that's my summer.
But up here, it makes no sense.
Yes, exactly. So you're absolutely right.
Yeah. The table service restaurant operated by Mika Sushi did not open with the park on July 15th, but will now resume operations on August 24th, 2020. John Tappanito will be reopening.
That's a good thing, and interesting that the dinner is from 4 to 8:50 p.m. Now, how if the park is going to close at 7 o'clock? Are you getting dinner at 8 o'clock?
John, I don't know who's doing the math here, but they're getting paid a lot of money to do it.
I mean, I'm assuming that it's not going to take you an hour and 50 minutes to eat. If you get seated, what if you get seated at 6:55? Park's closing in 5 minutes, but I've got a reservation at 6:55. So I get to leave 2 hours later? What?
Yeah, I got to figure this one out. I might call Disney today and ask them what the hell that is.
That's a little whack.
Yeah, so, I mean, well, and the thing of it is,
it open, but
you'll have customers. I'll have people wanting to book and asked about that, John.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, let me get a. Well, obviously they're open until 8:50, so I assume the I can get a reservation at 7:30, right? No, apparently not. So I don't know. That doesn't make any sense at all. But I am glad to see it reopen. The more stuff that gets reopened out there, the better. So hopefully we can finally start into getting some of these stores, especially in the UK Pavilion, reopened. I don't know why they're still closed.
No, I don't either. And the other thing is, wouldn't it make more sense also, John, and I'm just saying, for Epcot especially, because what Epcot is, like, I kind of, Tim, on WD, on the Mickey Dudes, they did a show also with the COVID, which they shut a couple resorts down, a couple of the hotel resorts, they had to choose which ones they would get rid of, and a couple of them said Riverside, which really pissed me off. But anyway, they also said, what park would you get rid of? And Tim said Epcot, because it's basically just a big restaurant. Because all it is food, drinks and food. Which, I knew what he was saying. Like, in a way, though, that's what I love about it, if you understand what I'm saying, John. But he was saying out of the four, that's the one he would get rid of, which I totally disagree with. But it's his opinion. He's allowed to have it, and I understand it. But this whole park thrives on its food and drink. Isn't that what Epcot is a lot about, John?
Food, drink, and shopping.
Exactly. So there goes my theory again. Why wouldn't you leave at least this park open to 9 o'clock so people, locals, can actually still book dinners at Rose and Crown and Le Cellier? And don't you think them closing at 7 is kind of hurting the restaurants there really bad, too? John, you still there?
Friend, his grandparents had. Yeah, hello.
No, I lost you for a second. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, growing up, my best friend, his grandparents had evening passes just to Epcot. And it was specifically for them. Every 2 weeks, they would go out to Epcot and eat dinner. That's all they wanted to do. And they'd make their way around World Showcase and then restart and do the whole thing again. So, but that's the only thing they really wanted to go out there to do, was to go out there for dinner. And they loved it. So,
yeah. And I think this is, again, that would be so much, it would make so much more sense for Epcot to be open from like 1 to 9. Or 12 to 9.
Yeah,
at least
you had to say.
Yeah, at least you could have lunch and dinner there.
If you had to keep the same amount of hours, yeah, I mean 12 to 9 or even 1 to 9, like you said, if it has to be 8 hours, then yeah, do that and have it the evening hours for them. So yeah, you're right. I mean, yeah, it just, even me being a bus driver out there, I'm looking forward to being able to get off shift at 5 o'clock and stopping by Epcot on the way home and maybe having a beer and then, you know, picking up something before driving home. That'd be nice.
No.
But not at this point. So
it's actually nice when you agree with me, John.
I know. It happens so rarely.
Lululemon now open at Disney Springs. I know you're going to head right over here, John.
No, it sounds like my place.
It's Lululemon is now open in the town center at Disney Springs, the first new store to open since Disney Springs reopened after the COVID-19 shutdown. The high-end athletic apparel store can be found just across from the Lime Garage near Anthropology in the former Trophy Room location. The store carries a full range of accessories for both men and women. Click the gallery more pictures of Disney Spring. You can go down here and look at more of the outfits and stuff like that. It's basically all it's all workout outfits.
I assume most of it's ladies apparel.
No, it's men's too. It's both men's workout shorts and tanks and tees, and it's for both. I guess it's high end. I guess it doesn't say what brands, but I would assume it's like Under Armour and Nike and all that, wouldn't you?
I would guess so. I don't know. I just found it. I found it interesting when I was an athletic young man. I had found just working out in my faded, old beat up clothes to be every bit as effective as spending hundreds of dollars on workout clothes. But okay, but that's me. So.
I bet your butt didn't look as good as mine in those outfits then, John.
I don't know. I looked okay when I was about 22. So.
Yeah. I bet it's all about how you look, John. They just want to show off how good they're built.
I suppose.
I haven't seen this yet, John. I got to get on there. I've been so darn busy the last couple weeks. But part 3 of the Joe Rohde web series is now available. Bally Stone Carving.
Yeah, this sounds very interesting, and both of us have talked about it, but neither one of us has spent the time to watch it yet, have we? So I really need to get on that.
It's going to happen. Me and Brenda's been busy, and I was going to turn it on a couple times, but she wasn't available, and I want to watch this with her because she really loves the Animal Kingdom also.
Gotcha.
Yeah, and her sister's getting ready to move back to town. We've had a lot going on the last couple weeks. Her brother just bought a new house, so... We've been busy the last couple weeks, but I definitely want to get on here. And did you see somebody asked Joe Rohde how he wears a mask with that ear of his?
That's a good question.
He said he wears a mask like mine that wraps around his head and Velcros around his neck, back of his head. You follow me?
Yeah.
But I thought it was funny as heck that and he actually answered them. Somebody wrote, "Hey, at Joe Rohde, how do you wear him?" I know it was probably somebody from New Jersey or New York. Hey Joe, how you wearing that mask with that ear of yours? You know it was some idiot from the Northeast, John. You know it had to be.
I don't know. I think a lot of people worry about that ear, wonder about that earring, how he gets away with it.
Yeah, I know a lot worry, but. Not as many are as uncouth as what we are up here in the Northeast.
Okay, that may be true.
Yeah, we just say what's on our mind. See, that's what the problem we have of us Northeasterners when we go down south with all the Southern hospitality. We know yous all talk about us, but you just do it behind our back. We're up here in the Northeast. We don't like you. We just tell you.
Yeah, and sometimes even if you like you, you're going to tell you you don't like you anyway.
Oh, absolutely. I told my wife I'm going to put a recorder one day on the windowsill at my job site and just record it all day just so she could actually see really what goes on.
Oof.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, here's a bit of good news for you. Epcot's new main entrance fountain is continuing to be worked on following installation of the new pylons this week. The temporary support structure has been removed, leaving the 4,000-pound acrylic pylons freestanding atop the fountain. The fountain is the last major component of the new entrance area redesign, thank God, with lead Imagineer Zach Ridley saying it will be completed this year.
Now, what do they remind you of, John? What do they remind you of?
The old fountain that used to be there.
Know what they remind me of looking at them? It reminds me of when Superman goes back to his lair.
Oh, the very first one. Holy cow. Yeah. Okay, what's the name of it? Do you remember?
Ain't it the Solitude or something?
Fortress of Solitude.
Fortress of Solitude, yes. But doesn't that remind you of that, John?
Yes, yeah. Speaking of that, or one of the hotels that's up in I guess Canada that are made out of ice and stuff.
Yes,
it's basically the same type of thing, right?
So. Yeah, but that's the first thing I thought about is Superman going back to Jor-El or whatever the heck it is in his Fortress of Solitude.
Very cool.
But anyway, they look nice. I love that Epcot logo actually.
Yep. I like how that, even though we're getting farther and farther away from the idea of original Epcot, we're going back to some of the designs of original Epcot, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah. They're like hidden Mickeys, John, is what it is.
Yeah.
John, you haven't tried this place. I haven't either, and I want to try it. Is J-Lo now is operating. J-Lo at Disney Springs will reopen on August 20th, which is a couple days ago, and it would be closed. And the restaurant closed in mid-March. It just reopened in August, and operating hours will be limited to 4 days per week, Thursday through Sunday, from 4 p.m. to 10 p.m. At least they're open for dinner, John.
There you go.
I've been wanting to try J-Lo.
Yeah, I think I'd like to try it too. I think Lisa would enjoy it actually, because it's Spanish food is flavorful but not overly spicy. So I think, or at least the stuff that we've tried so far.
Well, just tell her it's Chi-Chi's,
so
John.
Enjoy it.
Tell her it's Chi-Chi's.
We've never eaten at Chi-Chi's.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that would accomplish anything.
Okay, that is a chain, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What's this Beach Club Marketplace closing for refurbishment?
Beach Class Marketplace will be closing for refurbishment this weekend to begin a series of improvements to the Beach Club Resort quick service location. Oh, good. They're going to expand the restaurant in there. It's about time. Upgrades will include mobile order food service and a new layout featuring a new beverage island. During the refurbishment, which begins August 23rd, grab-and-go food will be available at a temporary location in the solarium at the Beach Club. Resort refillable mugs will be able to be refilled at Hurricane Hannah's at the Beach Club and the market at Allen Compass at the Yacht Club. The Beach Club Marketplace is expected to reopen in September of this year.
Well, they're expanding the restaurant.
It'd be nice to see that expand a little bit, because there is a very limited, it's one little hot bar where they have an incredibly limited idea of what you want to get for breakfast. You know, I mean, that was one of the big drawbacks that we've had going from places like Port Orleans Riverside to some of these in their deluxe resorts. You know, you would think you'd have more options, the Beach Club and stuff like that, where there's, you've got like, you can get the one, you know, the what do we usually get there, the big platter thing,
and that's about platter.
It, you know,
the bounty platter.
Yeah, the bounty platter. Yeah, it's not nothing at all like Port Orleans Riverside, where you've got just a litany of selections. So that's one of the things that we really missed once we got our DVC points. So
yeah, well, that's the thing, that the deluxe resorts don't have the grab and goes stink. Like, even my wife, the last trip we were on, remember I told you we were high, like the Boardwalk Bakery. I've told you before, like, Brenda don't like tight places, if you follow me. And we went to Boardwalk Bakery. I figured it would be nice. We went over, we parked at the Boardwalk. I figured we'd have breakfast there and walk over to Hollywood Studios. And she loved the idea until we went into the bakery, and she forgot how little it was. It was, like, so annoying. Like, you had to fight to toast your bagel.
Yeah, and you don't want to get there, and you guys were probably there, what, at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and that's
earlier than
that,
like 7:30 in the morning. We were there early, dude, because I wanted to get to studios when gate dropped because of Slinky. Remember, that was when Slinky Dog and all opened. I wanted to get on that.
Yeah. Well, let's just say, based on my experience a month ago at Boardwalk, you wouldn't have any problem at all getting in a bakery at any time with more than two people in there at any given time. So,
but
you're right though. The deluxes are really lacking for the most part in the grab and go, the quick service options, with the exception of Animal Kingdom Lodge. The Mara is fantastic, but that's the only one that I really enjoy.
I mean,
I don't know. The Contemporary has a decent one.
Yeah, the Contemporary ain't bad because it has that that counter service that delivers to your table. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, it's not bad, but the Boardwalk, with all the space that the Boardwalk Yacht and Beach Club have for breakfast grab and go or lunch grab, it's horrible. They need better options. They should have more. I don't know why they don't use that water area more for outdoor stands and stuff like that. They should have like a big outdoor food court all the way around that thing and bar.
Yeah, you would think they would have something like that. You're right. You're right.
And a bar. I mean, how cool would it be to have like a bar area out there? Like I've said before, they need a geyser point out there, but also like a version of that, but with a bunch of stands, like where you can go out and grab some burgers, hot dogs, fries. If you want to, they should have a fry stand, a pizza, like the pizza window they have is nice. Like they have that. They should have multiple things around that water area.
Yeah, they do have the fry stand. They've got a place that makes a couple of different fried options and stuff like that, but it's never open for breakfast. I mean, some of the places should be open for breakfast.
Yeah.
So
they just need. I think they're way underused in that area. Is the moral to my story? Speaking of a story, you can go get a sneak peek at Milan now over at Hollywood Studios, John. Surprised they're not charging $5 to see it.
Well, if you spend $30 on the movie, maybe you'll spend $5 on a preview.
I want to see this darn movie so bad, too, but I'm not going to be able to justify the $30.
Yeah, let's see. Walt Disney Presents will be showing a preview of Mulan from August 21st, 2020 at Disney's Hollywood Studios. Along with the preview, there will be a display of an original witch costume from the movie and a replica of a warrior costume and sword. Mulan will debut on September 4th via Disney Plus with premiere access. $29.99.
Again, $19.99, they'd have had me sold. $29.99, I feel like I'm being abused again.
Now, speaking of movies, I walked past the day I was at Disney Springs. I did walk past the AMC. They were open, and they did they were doing the 15-cent movies. Too bad Mulan wasn't there at that time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they had Back to the Future. They had Grease. They had I think one of the Star Wars movies. There was a couple of the giant blockbusters from the last, probably 30, 40 years. So it was a nice selection. And there was a couple of people going in and stuff, but I don't think they promoted it as much as they really should have. So I didn't see a ton of people there.
I think it's kind of that. I think they only want who they want there. I don't think they wanted to promote it, to be honest with you. I just think they probably wanted just enough people there to figure out how to do it.
That's true. Yeah, you're right. No, they probably didn't want a giant crew of people in there. So yeah, just more than anything, just to get their employees back to interact with people and to make sure that everybody knew what they were doing.
Yeah, so. And they probably figured we got to charge some for this. We just can't let people come in for free, probably for some legal reason, if you follow me, John.
Yeah, by purchasing a ticket, you are, yada, yada, yada.
Exactly.
Assuming responsibility and all that stuff. So
it's sad how I think peel back the layers all the time, isn't it, John? The light cycle is getting further and further advanced. Our friends over at Carmen and Brian, I know Brian's excited about doing this Tron.
I think there's a lot of people excited about it. I just don't know if it necessarily fits in with their favorite movie of all time. So,
no, that's 100% my problem. But I will say the light cycle, the ride mechanism, is actually one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, it certainly looks like it's going to be a cool ass ride. So,
yeah, I can't wait. But it's getting closer and closer. They're getting there, and it does fit in with the whole Tomorrowland. So I am into it. It actually makes Tomorrowland look like the future a little bit, John, for a change.
There you go. I would really like to see them put an arcade down there somewhere by it. You know, arcades going would go back and forth, and especially at this time with, I guess, they would be hard to keep clean, but nonetheless it would be cool to see, especially the arcade from the movie Tron, somewhere down there.
Yeah, maybe they'll have at least a machine somewhere in the queue, you know what I mean, an old Tron game.
Yeah, that would be an interesting queue element if they just had a video game set up in there.
So. Yeah. Maybe some kind of game, virtual reality game you could play on your phone so everybody is clean, and that goes with Tron. When you go in there, you can only get the signal in the queue.
There you go.
New weekend brunch begins at the House of Blues, John. It started a couple days ago, and it looks really good, doesn't it, that skillet?
Tell you what, that picture looks killer. It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, that looks like Daddy gonna be happy to eat that lunch. But all the pictures look good here, John. Those egg sandwiches.
Yeah, I know, right?
I mean, those egg sandwiches look butt-kicking. That's a sandwich, John.
Yeah. House of Blues Restaurant and Bar on Disney Springs will offer a new weekend brunch starting August 22nd. Weekend brunch will feature an all-new a la carte brunch menu, complete with Southern, made-from-scratch brunch favorites and beverages. Menu includes items like the new breakfast burrito, New York steak and eggs, and chicken and donuts. Man, that breakfast burrito looks good, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Bottomless beverages include your choice of mimosas or Bloody Marys for just $15. Bottomless Bloody Marys for $15. You got me sold.
Yeah,
holy cow, I can drink three or four of those. Oh, man.
Hey, John, that sounds like maybe the reason why you booked the old Key West, John.
There you go.
Or
down there for breakfast, take
or a weekend over at the Wyndham.
yeah, walking distance to the Wyndham. So either way, man, that sounds killer, though.
Yeah, and this breakfast burrito: a flour tortilla, fries, 3 over easy farm fresh eggs, maple spiked pork sausage, braised peppers and onions, cilantro crema, cojita and Tillamood, cheddar cheese, and roasted salsa for $15. And they have me sold with the flour tortilla, John.
I'm telling you. Yeah, no corn tortilla for you.
No, I hate corn. I love corn on the cob. I love corn, but not corn tortillas. The Barnyard breakfast is good too, John. 2 farm fresh eggs, garlic home fries, choice of sausage or bacon, white or wheat toast. Add biscuits and gravy for $3, but it's only $14 for that breakfast. What's the bounty platter? $12.99, John?
Yeah, I think it is now $13.95, somewhere in that range. So you're absolutely right. Spot on the same price.
And you can have these eggs made the way you want them. They're freshly made. They're not in a heat lamp, if you follow me. So
yeah,
I'm in.
Chicken and donuts, Tennessee toast. Tennessee toast, the brisket hash, house smoked brisket, garlic, home fries, cachita cheese, pickled onions, bell peppers, soft poached egg, and chipotle hollandaise. Ooh, I'm getting that. I'm getting the bottomless Bloody Mary. So let's go. Come on, Doug. I'll head over there for tomorrow breakfast. Brunch.
Everything looks so awesome, dude. You're right. I mean, I'm here. I mean,
absolutely.
Morning smash burger, 2 smash patties, aged cheddar, thick cut bacon, bacon ketchup, bacon aioli. I mean, bacon. Sunny side up, farm fresh eggs, brioche bun, honey sriracha sauce, and home fries for $16. Oh, my goodness. Pig grits and shrimp, John. I can honestly say I've never had pig grits and shrimp. Have you?
I've had grits, obviously plenty of grits and shrimp, but pig grits and shrimp, I don't think I have. So.
Never had it. It's called Tillamook Cheddar Grits, Bacon Wrapped Shrimp, Chimichurri, and Crisp Basil, $16. That sounds so good, dude. And then they have a summer salad for brunch for $13. Dude, I want to go here.
You're not kidding.
And then even if you could do, you could listen to this deal, John. You could even do a la carte if you wanted to do like the fixings for extra. If you just want to do regular, you could do 2 eggs for $4 and get Country Link sausage for $4, or biscuits and gravy for $4. You could do, or garlic home fries for $4. So you could do two eggs, a sausage link, and garlic home fries for $12.
Yeah, and biscuits and gravy are super filling. So I never understand these people that get that as a side dish for a breakfast. How you can possibly eat that on top of eating like bacon and eggs? And anyway, no, I mean, I like biscuits and gravy. I certainly do. I'm raised in the South, but when I eat it, that's just it, you know. So I can see you just getting that for breakfast, especially like you wanted to share something. You get one of those big things and then add biscuits and gravy into it. You share for breakfast. I think you're fine, right?
No, yeah, awesome. Know what also would be good, John? Get the biscuits and gravy with the garlic home fries for $8.
There you go.
Wouldn't that be good, John?
As long as I'm getting my bottomless Bloody Mary, I'm good.
I think we got to put this on our list to do, John. We're headed down here.
I think you're absolutely right, especially if, like I said, if me and Lisa do end up staying at Old Key. I wonder, hopefully this menu stays around for a while. But yeah, that sounds killer. And that would be a great thing to do in the morning, especially if we were having a Disney Springs day. You know,
oh, yeah.
You take the boat from Old Key West, get down here about 9:30, 10 o'clock, sit and eat that big old brunch, and then meander your way around Disney Springs for 3-4 hours. That's a good day right there.
Absolutely. Did you see the picture of this what you would call it, the breakfast burrito?
Yeah.
Did you see the way they line the French fries around the outside of that burrito? That's genius, John.
It's a thing of beauty, isn't it?
Oh, my God. I mean, I had an awesome breakfast, but I want this burrito right now, John. That looks delicious. I get
it
honestly...
Really,
have you
really, really does.
Have you ever had French fries in a burrito before? I never have. Have you?
In a burrito, no, but in Crete during our med cruise in Greece, that was the late night snack you'd get after you went to the bars for a couple hours and you headed back to the ship. On the streets, they would sell gyros or euros if you want to be authentic, but inside the euros, they would cut the lamb fresh for you, slice it in there, put the sauce, the tomatoes, the onions, and then put a handful of French fries. Fries in that gyro, and that was the best thing at night to avoid a hangover. I'm yeah. telling you, man, yeah. Eat one of those on the way back to the ship, you felt fine in the morning. So.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, it sounds awesome. And dude, I want this. I mean, I want this burrito so bad. That really
yeah,
looks
amazing,
good.
Doug. We talked about all this other stuff, and me and you are just head over heels in love with the new brunch menu at House of Blue.
I love good food, John. I love food. It's one of the reasons
and
I go to Disney World.
Breakfast is one of those meals that oftentimes get shadowed over, especially when you are on vacation and stuff like that. Usually, and especially at Disney World. I mean, I see a lot of people just obviously grab granola bars or something like that, a piece of fruit, or you know, dare I say it, a toaster or a toast or a Pop Tart, yeah. You know, on the way out the door for breakfast. This looks like a whole other plane of breakfast items right here. So this looks great.
It's a game changer, John.
Well, that's a heck of a way to start your day.
One of the things I will say, as me and Brenda are getting more seasoned, we're not old, we're just seasoned. But the more I go to Disney, over the past 10 years, I've been eating more breakfast out than I ever did before because... I want to get to the parks to be there, but I'm not like feeling like I have to do everything. Like we've eaten more sit down breakfast probably in the last 5 years than we did the prior 20 years.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I mean, you know, usually the only place you grab a breakfast is maybe a diner or something on the way out if you're doing something like that. Or down here, there's Cracker Barrels everywhere. They have good breakfast, but nothing like food. This place looks great. So.
Yeah, like me and Brenda, we always got the bounty platters, and I would go down to the old mill and get us breakfast. We always had breakfast, but it was always we eat it in the room or, you know, we grab it right there at the old mill. But over the last 5-6 years or more, we've been doing the Wave. We've been going to over to the Yachtsman Eat Breakfast, to the Captain's. You understand what I'm saying? We've been doing multiple different breakfasts now on property that we didn't do before.
Yeah, we've done Ale and Compass twice.
Ale and Compass.
Really enjoyed their breakfast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I definitely want to get over to the Wave and try your Florida Eggs Benedict. So that's on the list. So yeah, we too have definitely expanded our breakfast. Traditionally, you think of breakfast as really being only a couple items, eggs and bacon, and yeah, you know, traditional stuff. So it's nice to see people, you know, embracing some of the other stuff and maybe give shrimp and grits, bacon wrapped shrimp, for a try for breakfast.
Well, especially like you just talked about, I'd never, until that Florida Eggs Benedict, I've never had crab meat for breakfast in my life. And now I can't wait to get it every trip.
Yeah, that does sound really good.
Dude, so, I mean, the way it's made with those eggs, it is out of this world, dude. I mean, it is just so light and filling at the same time, John, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah. I can understand that.
Oh, yay. Halloween merchandise now on sale. Me and Brenda went to a home store the other day. Last week or the week before. The whole store is full of Halloween decorations, John.
Oh, absolutely. It's that time.
Yeah. Again, I love Halloween because my wife does. But I really don't want to see Halloween decorations in the Magic Kingdom until at least September. Can't you just give me August?
It's still the summer. It's still the summer.
You know, have red, white, and blue flags out. Celebrate what's left of summer. After Memorial Day, you can do whatever you want. Do you agree with me, John? Or Labor Day, whatever the heck it is. Labor Day.
Yeah, I don't know. It's so hard looking at Harvest Merchant, and it's everywhere down here too already. I mean, it's all over the stores and stuff like that. And you go in Walmart right now, good luck finding charcoal, but by golly gum, if you want your pumpkin carving kit, it's right there in front of you. You know, I mean, it's Florida. I grill all summer long. You don't need to hide the charcoal. It's not even the end of the sea. I don't understand the stores, especially down here. It makes no sense to me whatsoever.
One of the things I love working with you, John, is, and doing this show, is the different things we say. By golly gum. I mean, I love it, John. I mean, it just, it makes the whole show just hearing you say stuff like that, John. By golly gum.
I dug that one out, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. That was out behind the barn somewhere, John. What else do we have here, John? Remy Hide and Squeak Scavenger Hunt is opened at Epcot's Food and Wine again, John, for the 25th anniversary.
Yes. I've seen people out there trying to do that. So, and that looks like something that actually, I mean, you know, we've complained about having to buy the thing before and stuff like that, but it does look like something that people can do without interacting with each other and without interacting, getting too close to other cast members. So at this point, I think it's probably a cool activity, especially for kids to do, because they do have all of the kid stops closed at Epcot. You can still pick up the stuff for your child to do, but they pretty much have to do it themselves. They don't have cast members doing it right now. So
yeah, well, that's available. I mean, Epcot does look, I mean, there's some pictures that inside of the festival center, it's very crowded, but for the most part, it's wide open there for roaming around, and there's a lot of merch out there, John.
Yeah, a lot of merch, a lot of new stuff, so it's good to see.
Yeah, I like these new bottles, the drink bottles with Remy and Mickey and Minnie, like it has Mickey in the spaceship Earth. And then Figment. So those bottles are pretty nice.
Yeah, they look cool, don't they?
Yeah. The surprise we mentioned earlier came in the form of two additional bottle prizes for Remy's Hide and Squeak Scavenger, which joined the first two bottles that debuted earlier this week. So when you get that, you win them. So that's pretty cool, John. It'd be worth the money to get the bottle, at least. At least you get something.
Yeah, before it was just a pin, so that's cool that there's something a little different now.
Yeah, I'd rather have the drink bottle than the pin myself. But anywho.
Yeah, those are kind of cute. Well, Lisa would like the Figment one. So. Yep.
I would like the Mickey one, and I know Brenda would love the Remy one. So. Oh, new Marvel Spider-Man and Iron Man Magic Bands arrive at the Magic Kingdom. That's the first I've seen of anything Iron Man. What about you, John? As far as Magic Band wise or anything?
Yeah, I think you're right.
The Cheshire Cat Tail has returned to the Magic Kingdom at Cosmic Rays. Have you ever had that, John?
No, I have not.
Yeah.
How about you?
It kind of looks like a chocolate croissant with purple icing on it, don't it, Theo?
Yeah, it looks a little too sweet for me. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of the Cheshire Cat, so, at all. Alice in Wonderland freaked me out.
Creep you out?
Yeah.
It is a creepy movie. And
it
then the live action had your favorite actor in the world in it, so.
Oh, that even made it over the top, hate it even more. So, yeah, I'm not a big Alice. My wife don't like Alice in Wonderland either. It's too creepy for her.
Now, Lisa likes Cheshire Cat. We got a lot of Cheshire Cat stuff around here.
Yeah. Well, it ain't Johnny. Tour of the deluxe room at Disney's Old Key West, where John will be staying. I looked at pictures of that. Man, does that look good. I love that resort.
Very, very nice, right?
Yeah. Speaking of breakfast, yeah. Olivia's is another great breakfast.
Yeah, you're right. We've eaten there before for breakfast, lunch, and I think we did have dinner there one time. And actually, that's an underrated restaurant, I think. I mean, I don't think a lot of people realize how good the food is there, and it's one of those places you can always get a reservation at.
Oh, you're 100% right, John. Olivia's is awesome. Off the beaten path, nice, relaxing.
And it's got a really cool theme storyline to it. It's got all the pictures of the DVC owners and stuff up in the hallway, and why there's different chairs at each table and the different plates on the walls and stuff. So yeah, it's a really cool little restaurant.
And then you head to the Gurgling Suitcase and get some drinks.
There you go.
That's your bus, John, has a new Donald Duck wrap on it. I like that. It's pretty cool looking. Looks like he's looking out the window.
Well, that's very cool.
So, and then new limited release Park Life Magic Bands arrive. Have you seen these yet?
Yeah, let's take a look. Yeah, let's see, it looks like different, you got different characters on, or it's different parks, yeah, with different stuff. So, look like Animal Kingdom has Mickey on it. It's a blue band with Doug's favorite ride, Expedition Everest, the Kilimanjaro Safaris Jeep, the dinosaur on it. So that's a very cool looking one. Then you've got Mickey at Hollywood Studios with TIE Fighters flying over the Tower of Terror. That looks really neat. And then the Rock and Roller Coaster's on there. The Slinky Dog's on there. Fantasmic. Yeah,
these are really cool bands.
I like them. Yeah, yeah, I like the look of them.
I wonder what the limited edition means. 30 million?
Limited edition, unless they sell out, in which case there's another limited edition of them. So I still don't understand, Doug, and we've talked about this before. Why don't they have resort-specific ones? I mean, you know how many more bands I would have if every time we checked into a different resort, there was one that was themed distinctly to that resort?
John, I would even hate to say it, but like I would pay $10 for a Port Orleans Magic Band. You know what I'm saying? If it was done to that,
if that's absolutely
what they need to do. What?
Absolutely. That would be awesome.
So, I mean, I don't know. I just think they some of the things they do baffle me, like the park hours, and in other things where they could make money, baffles me that they don't do.
And then things like last week we were talking about, why are you selling Haunted Mansion merchandise at Epcot?
Yeah.
I mean, that is just confusing. So.
Yeah. And the guy that thought about that had his full salary reimbursed to him, John.
And he's got a degree from a fancy college, and he knows what he's... Okay, buddy.
Yeah.
You say so.
Ridiculous. New 2020 calendar arrives at Disneyland Resort, which I hope Disney World gets there soon. I love the Disney calendars. Poor Robbie. Our buddy Robbie out there in California, he keeps riding by Disneyland and can't go in. Don't it suck?
Yeah, it really does. And now, speaking of that, as bad as California was before, now with these fires, I mean, have you seen some of those videos
horrific.
Coming out of the whole West? I mean, it looks like Armageddon out there. It's
Dude,
horrible looking.
I am such an animal lover. I'm trying not to think about it because the animals that have been killed, I mean, I just want to cry.
Just gobs and gobs and people's livelihoods
yep.
and homes, and it just looks horrible, man.
All redwood trees
it's
that are...
It's a bad year for them fires.
Redwood trees that are 1,000 years old and hundreds of years old or whatever being burnt down, and it's sad. It's very sad, dude. And I don't... Like, the Disneyland resorts are open, but the parks aren't open. I don't know. And they have new Jungle Cruise t-shirts and stuff for sale to look really cool. Hopefully they come down to Disney World, but...
There's actually a new... I just saw the story come out yesterday, so I'm not sure where it's sold at. But there's a new board, probably at this toy store at Disney Springs. There's a new Jungle Cruise adventure board game. So it's a unique game. It's not like some of the other stuff where they've... done like a Monopoly off of Disney and stuff like that, or
Clue, I have Clue.
Or Pirates of the Caribbean has.
I also have Clue.
Pirates of the Caribbean has Battleship. So, but this is a unique game, just themed to the Jungle Cruise. So, I'm hoping that it's still going to be around come October when I get my 40% discount because I'm going to have to grab that because
yeah.
it looks really cool.
I wonder if part of it is you have to tell some corny jokes to get through some.
Probably. So.
Another article here. All the Halloween merch arrives at Hollywood Studios. New Mousewares Dragon Glass set arrives at Walt Disney World. They look pretty cool, John. They got all the characters on them. They're like in black and white. I like that.
Yeah, very nice.
So, just trying to see what else we have here, John. That's about it. They do have the new Remy Hide and Squeak. Another picture over here. The Hunt water bottles prize feature. I love those water bottles, John.
Yeah, those look really cool.
Yeah, I want one of them. Rise of the Resistance. Technical issues continue. Like, John, and I'm not trying to be mean, but how does that ride right now with it being brand new and not... Nowhere near the amount of people going on it. How's it keep breaking down? Is this scariness to... Is this going to be like Test Track from here on out?
It's going to be problematic. I mean, there's so many moving parts in there, and there's so many such new technology that they're going to take... It's going to take a while to get it to run the functionality of it to run at 100%. But that's, to me, that's not surprising. I've seen a lot, I mean, living here, I see a lot of attractions open up, and it's a lot different than Slinky Dog. I mean, I like Slinky Dog, but Slinky Dog's a basic coaster. It doesn't have a whole lot of unique moving components to it and stuff like that. Rise of the Resistance, and then I know their Universal's also having, or they had a lot of trouble with their new coaster, the Hagrid's motorbike adventure. So when some of these attractions open, they have a terrible time making them work correctly for a while. So Flight of Passage had a lot of problems within the first couple of months. So.
Yeah, I'm not being negative here. I'm just nervous. I mean, it's like, because I only get down there a couple times a year, and I don't want it to constantly be broken because you know how much I love Test Track. And there's been so many times, so many years where I couldn't go on Test Track just because of it. You walk up to it, you're surprised when it's not broken down.
Yeah, and that, to me, a problem they have a lot is flat tires
yep.
on the cars. And I never understood why they put real tires on there in the first place, but I guess that is... That happens all the time. And that's when they broke down for half an hour, 45 minutes. That's what it is. There's a flat tire they have to switch, and they have to get everybody off to do that. So,
dude, all I know is Disney needs to spend some money and hire some NASCAR pit crews, and they wouldn't have this problem.
Get out there. Be done.
Yeah. We mentioned this last week, which would be cool, John, if you can get over and do this. For the first time ever, Disney Vacation Club is opening Polynesian bungalows, wilderness lodge cabins, and grand villas to all guests to see. I mean, all the resorts, every single DVC has rooms open. So if you want to go on tours, every hotel has their best rooms open to look at. So.
Yeah, and I've always wondered why they didn't do this in the first place. I mean, the mock-ups over at Saratoga are kind of cool, but nonetheless, it's not a real room. So it's nice to be able to actually and to have one room set aside to tour doesn't seem like it would be that big of a sacrifice. But
yeah, well, right now they're trying to do anything they can to sell Vacation Club, I think, John.
Yeah, it was interesting. I was talking to the guy in the DVC lounge, and he was saying that it's not as bleak as you would think it is, because there's apparently a lot of people that are still thinking about it, and he obviously he could be putting a positive spin on it, but he seemed like he was still doing okay. So
yeah, well, he's a salesman, he has to be positive. I get it. And this is the other breaking. Walt Disney Company restoring salaries of senior executives to pre-COVID-19 rates. Ain't that nice, John?
Absolutely.
But you and all the cast members are sitting on the sidelines wondering what the hell's going on. Why the people that can afford to go a year without a salary or at half salary, not without a salary, but at half salary, are getting all their money back to sell Haunted Mansion crap in Epcot. They're geniuses, John.
There you go. That's why they get paid the big bucks.
Yeah. Morons. Yeah, let's have Epcot open from 11 to 7, the peak hotness of the day. So nobody wants to drink or eat. That makes so much sense, doesn't it, John? I don't know. But I don't have much else. Do you, Johnny?
I don't think so. I think that about covers it. By golly gum.
Yeah, there you go. By golly gum. What was the other one we said? What was the one about the gropey?
Oh, that one was great. Yeah, yeah, that was the eighth dwarf.
Yeah, the eighth dwarf gropey. Anyway, I got a big football draft tonight, John. My last one. I'm looking forward to it. It's out of 10 guys, I picked 10th. I got lucky, John.
Yeah, well, then you get the first pick in the second round. So, and speaking of sports, this segment, of course, sponsored by our favorite sports fans, Carmen and Brian. Me and Tommy about to go at it there, Doug. So let's see who can come out on top, his Bruins or my Lightning. So
that ought to be very interesting. You guys got to do maybe a hat trick or something like that. Maybe his bet the other one buys the other one a hat and has to wear it and take a picture with it. That's what I was going to do with you.
Oh.
You got to wear it, take a picture with it, and then send it to the other guy.
Ew, yuck. That's disgusting.
But that would be fun. You'd have that forever. I have that with my brother. I have the year the Eagles won the Super Bowl, I made a bet with my brother, and I still have it. It's on my ringtone. Every time my brother calls me, it's a picture with him with the Eagles hat on. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, he hates the Eagles, so we bet a game, and the loser had to buy the other team's hat and take a picture with it on, and he lost, and he bought me an Eagles hat, and I got to take a picture of it, and now every single time that phone rings, it's the gift that keeps on giving, John.
You see him every time.
Yeah, so maybe you guys do something like that, like a Bruins hat and a Lightning hat.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a long series, so.
Yeah.
But I sent him a text saying, you know, I've got the table at ESPN booked for 6:00. I expect you there, but unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's gonna happen. So.
And it's tonight, huh?
Yeah, it starts tonight. Yep. Yeah, you get and Philly has the Islanders, so, and then the winner will play probably Philly. We'll see.
Who knows, John? Don't jinx us. We didn't play that good in that first series. Our goaltender did. Our defense was okay, but we didn't. We got this big problem with it's called the power play. It's horrible. And
yeah, we're not killing it on the power play either. So
and I don't hate him as a person. I hate him as a player. I can't stand Claude Giroux. He's the most overrated Philadelphia Eagle in Eagles history, in my opinion.
In
Flyers history, I'm sorry. He's overrated for an Eagle too, John.
Probably seriously overrated as an Eagle. So.
I don't know, dude. Whenever the playoffs come, he never does anything, John. We had people around here for years saying that they wouldn't trade Claude Giroux for Crosby from the Penguins, and they're out of their mind, dude.
Really?
honest to God, dude.
Anybody for Crosby.
Oh, yeah. You'd hear people on WIP, the local radio station. Oh, Giroux's such a better all-around player than Crosby. Dude, are you insane? You know,
I think Sidney Crosby is like one of those, well, those players that makes everybody around him a better player, too. You know?
Yeah, it'd be like me saying, Donovan McNabb is so much better than Tom Brady, it ain't even close. It's ridiculous what would Tom Brady get. I wouldn't trade McNabb for Brady ever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just some people with their sports teams.
There's plenty of people down here that are actually, and it's Facebook groups too. Some of them are so idiotic, including Disney ones, and especially sports ones. But they were talking about how they wouldn't have traded Jameis if it was a legitimate trade. They wouldn't have traded Jameis Winston for Tom Brady. And I'm like, you're kidding, right? I mean, come on.
No, so. They're insane. The only thing that Winston has going for him is his age. That's it.
Yeah. His age, and we'll see if his eyesight was terrible. He's had surgery on the offseason, so we'll see if it's any better. I'm hoping he still throws to the Bucks because we got to play Saints twice, so he can still throw to the Bucks all he wants. So.
Well, hopefully, I'm a big Drew Brees fan. I drafted Jameis Winston, so I have him on my dynasty league. He's a backup to Brees. I just hope Brees throws plenty of touchdown passes. And Winston don't play a game this year.
Yeah, that'd be fine too, because I think I've got New Orleans tight end, so that would be fine.
No, I'm just looking forward to the series. Looking forward to seeing what the Flyers can do. I'm really rooting for them, and I'm keeping my fingers crossed every day that we have a football season, John. Because I don't know what I'll do. Because we made that breakfast this morning. It's like my kickoff to football season, my Sunday breakfast.
Yeah, I know. We do that. We do the podcast, then we sit down for some NFL. So,
and it don't get much better than that, John.
So, that's a good day.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the football season. Hopefully all the knuckleheads do what they're told and make a season come. But it's going to be very interesting. This is some of the guys I work with are in this league, so I don't want to be I got to do good.
Yeah, you got to get your bragging rights. So
100%. But anyway, enjoy your day. What do you got planned for the rest of the day, John?
Bought some severe ground clear brush killer. I'm going to go spray that on some of my stuff the swamp that's creeping up on my yard. Fight it back. So.
Well, that sounds like fun. I could use some up here for the poison ivy.
Yep, it's probably the same stuff. So.
All right, my brother, you have a wonderful day. Please, guys, head over to iTunes, leave us a review. Everybody be kind to one another, and we will talk to you real soon. Say goodbye, John.
Bye-bye, folks. Have a great week.
Bye-bye. Well, that's it, guys. We're going to hop off our stools, and there's no tab here at the Main Street Pub. As usual, drinks are on the house, but if you could please head over to iTunes and leave us a review, we'd really, really appreciate that. Also, you can find us on Twitter at WDW Main Street and Facebook at WDW Main Street. You can find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at good old Grumpy 6767. Also, head over to our website. It's all in WDW. You can find our fine sponsors over there: Elite Vacation Homes, David's Vacation Club Rentals, Scooterlando, American Tourist Travel. And again, guys, please be kind to one another, and we will talk to you real soon. Bye-bye.